Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is March the 23rd. Today we have the operating budgets before us. I'm joined today by my co-chairman, Senator Stedman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson.
Good morning.
Senator Egan and Senator Huggins, and I mean Senator Thomas and Senator Huggins should be here shortly. Today we're going to have the reports from each of the subcommittees. On your desk you'll find binders that have each of the closeout narratives and worksheets and arranged by subcommittee chair. Also you have the operating budget folder that includes the legislative finance reports. So this morning we're going to have the presentations, and at the end we'll have consideration of the adoption of all of the reports. So we'll start with the subcommittees that I chaired, and we'll proceed with Senator Olson and Senator Ellis. I understand that Senator Ellis may have to leave, and we will pick his up later, and then we'll go to Senator Stedman, and then Senator Huggins, Senator Thomas, and then we'll finish up with Senator Egan. With that, good morning, Mr. Grusendorf. The first budget report is on fish and game.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Grusendorf, staff to the Senate Finance Committee and Senator Hoffman. The first report, subcommittee report, is for the Department of Fish and Game. This budget is spending in unrestricted general funds $59,955,000 and undesignated general funds $11,047,000. I'll go right down to the budget actions that are highlighted in the bottom of that front page. I should add that we did add three full-time positions and two part-time positions to this budget, and they'll be described below in the budget action. First, we accepted the governor's amended proposal with the following adjustments. We denied the governor's request to consolidate the commercial fisheries division into one component, and we denied $400,000 of wildlife's $3.5 million federal fund increment request. Other actions taken by the subcommittee, in commercial fisheries appropriation, we cut 924.4 of test fisheries receipts from various commercial fishery allocations to align test fishery receipts authorization with anticipated expenditures. In the Southeast region, on page 2, we added 50,000 of general funds to Southeast region fisheries management for collaborative effort with the industry and fishermen to better determine the Southeast red king crab biomass. And we added 600,000 general funds for the Southeast region stock assessment, monitoring, and other projects. In the Central region, we added 523,000 of general funds and one position for salmon research and management projects. In the AYK region, we added 400,000 of general funds and three positions, two full-time and one part-time for salmon research and managed projects. And in the Division of Subsistence, we added 84.6 general funds to the Fish and Game Regional Regulatory Program Assistant position, and we added 260,000 of general funds to the Yukon Chinook Salmon Disaster Research. And that is the report as presented to from the subcommittee.
Thank you, Mr. Grusendorf, and I might report to the full committee that the state of Alaska has a constitutional mandate to manage for sustained yield, and the members of the committee felt that if we were truly managing for sustained yield, we would not be having the problems that we are in low runs of fishery stocks throughout the state of Alaska. And what we're doing here is putting in funds to address try to address some of the problems that we're experiencing on the Yukon, further in South Central and in Southeast. So this is probably the largest increase that the department has had, although it's small in nature, you know, 1.6 million. And when we look at education, we're increasing education's budget in excess of $50 million. But this is the largest increase that the Department of Fish and Game has seen in over two decades. So with that, we'll move on to the next committee. We have the governor's budget presentation. Mr. Grusendorf.
Okay, moving on to the Office of the Governor, the subcommittee recommendations. Basically, the subcommittee matched the governor's amended request of $26,639,000.4. We did not add any additional positions to the governor's amended request. Budget actions taken by the committee. The subcommittee authorized no additional general funds that the governor's amended FY11 request. The FY11 subcommittee budget requests a total increment from the FY11 adjusted base of $3,845,000 general funds and 29 additional temporary employees described below. And those were for the Division of Elections. The governor requested a status quo budget for FY11 with two significant one-time increments and two minor increments associated with REAA. First, with elections and redistricting, $3,693,000.8 was requested, along with 29 part-time positions to run the 2010 elections. The amount of this funding is consistent with the prior election cycle. The $6.5 million requested for the in-state gas line will be addressed in the full at the full finance committee level, so you will not see it in the language section under the governor. And that is the report from the governor's subcommittee.
Do we have any questions on the governor's budget report? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 29 additional temporary employees, that's pretty consistent over the number of election years. Every 2 or 4 years, is that an increase or is that pretty much normal?
That is consistent with the prior election cycles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Further questions? Seeing none, move on to the report for the legislature.
All right, moving on to the legislature, we had a reduction of $1,137,000 from the legislature's general fund budget. We did add one full-time position and one part-time position, and I'll describe that below under the budget action. I already stated that that authorizes $1.1 million less in general funds and five less employees than the legislature initial FY11 request. The subcommittee's proposal accepts both the decrement for the amount no longer needed for long-term per diem and the corresponding transaction increasing legislator salary and benefits as recommended by the State Officers Compensation Commission. The increased proposal for the legislator's annual allowance accounts has not been accepted, pending further deliberations and final determination by Leg Council. Line item transfers for budget realignment and authorizations for increased interagency receipts have been authorized for legislative budget and audit and Leg Council. The four positions associated with LBNA's request for additional auditors is not authorized at this time. The legislative auditor is directed to first reassess the effectiveness of contract audit services. Should this assessment conclude the need for additional personnel, the chair and vice chair of LBNA committee may authorize such action. On the next page, $600,000 general fund spending authority in the LBNA appropriation was transferred to the Legislative Council appropriation to provide assurance that sufficient authority exists there to absorb all other additional GF spending requests without increasing budget authority. And lastly, the subcommittee approved a part-time position for the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. And that is the legislative subcommittee report.
Thank you for that report, Mr. Grusendorf. Do we have any questions on the legislative budget? Then we'll move on to the university's budget. Mr. Grusendorf.
The University of Alaska subcommittee report is as follows. The subcommittee is recommending a $16,700 reduction from the governor's amended request. Although this is a $16,000 reduction, this is a $15.2 million increment over the adjusted base from last year. I'll move down to the budget actions. First, the subcommittee action was to change the structure from one appropriation in the governor amendment to seven appropriations matching the FY10 structure. The second item was we transferred 3% of federal receipts, unrestricted general funds, and university receipts from all appropriations except small business development center into the budget. The reduction additions system statewide appropriations to provide program funding flexibility under the seven appropriation scenario. The total transfer is $22.5 million. This is a net zero change in the overall budget. And we explained this under the subcommittee because it was a committee of the whole. This is just putting the money into one account that the system-wide that they can move because they were having, that was their concerns with the seven appropriations is that they weren't able to move money. This gives them a 3% cushion to move around as they deem necessary. We accepted all federal receipts and other funds as requested in the governor's amendment. We accepted all designated general funds, university receipts, and Voc Tech Ed as requested in the governor's amended proposal. On page two, we funded all general fund match and general fund mental health as requested by the governor and provided a statewide university increment of $4.5 million in general funds. We funded $1.2 million general funds to the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program at the Anchorage campus. We funded $314,000.2 general funds specifically for Anchorage fixed cost priorities. We added $300,000 general funds for the Marine Advisory Program at the Fairbanks campus, which we believe is enough to cover the existing MAPS positions. We funded $75,000 for the Alaska Summer Research and Fairbanks campus. We funded $150,000 general funds for the individual technology-based math and summer bridge program at the Fairbanks campus. We added $260,000.8 general funds to the University of Alaska community campuses for additional lease cost increases. And finally, we approved the intent that future requests by the University of Alaska for unrestricted general funds move toward a long-term goal of 125% of actual university receipts for the most recently closed fiscal years. The part we removed from that intent language is the time frame that was requested from the other body. And that is a report from the University Budget Subcommittee.
Thank you for that report. And this was a committee of the whole, so these recommendations are all familiar with to the members of the Finance Committee, but are there subsequent questions on this report? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Gusendorf. We'll move on to reports of Senator Olson, starting with the Department of Administration that Senator Olson chaired along with Senators Pascavan and Coghill.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'll have Tim Benintendi, with your permission, come on up here and give the synopsis as well as the report for the administration.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Tim Benintendi, staff to Senator Olson. The net increase in this budget from this subcommittee's action was $200,000. In terms of general funds, the governor's amended was $97,667,700. Senate subcommittee was $97,885,600. Total funds, the governor's amended was $299,052,700. Senate subcommittee was $299,252,700. In terms of positions, we accepted the governor's recommendations. They actually eliminated five positions. There was one permanent full-time position, two permanent part-time positions, and two temporary positions. Under the budget action from this subcommittee, we denied general fund source changes for health insurance increases for non-covered employees. There were seven different elements requested, totaling $32.1 million. We denied all of those. The House happen to have accepted the 3,800 for the Office of Public Advocacy, but we felt everybody ought to be treated the same, despite the need for the general fund increment in that division. The subcommittee reduced projected travel costs in the e-travel by 50,000, so that went from 600,000 to 550. The House was silent on that issue. The subcommittee added an increment of 250,000 general fund to the base for Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission radio operations. The House was silent on that issue. There was no intent language, and we accepted all of the governor's amendments. And with that, that concludes the report.
Thank you, Mr. Benintendi. Do we have questions on the administration's budget? Seeing none, we'll move on to the HES budget, and that was also chaired by Senator Olson. The members were Senator Davis, Senator McGuire, Senator Meyer, and Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, I'll have Denise Liccioli, my chief of staff, come up and present the report for the HES budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Denise Liccioli, and I'm staff to Senator Olson. The subcommittee actions for the Department of Health and Social Services can be seen in the memo and all the detail that you have in front of you. Essentially, we were a little bit more than $7 million in general funds below what the governor asked for, yet we were still about almost $90 million above what they have authorized this year. And clearly, the very largest increase is due to Medicaid. There was $153 million in total, and $68.4 million of that was general funds just for the Medicaid program alone. Thankfully, our federal medical assistance percentage, or FMAP, was lowered last year under the RF initiative, and if it had not been, I'm sure that number would be even larger. So that is one of the concerns that's mentioned later in the memo, is that with the FMAP continually changing, and it has the impact of tens of millions of dollars in both general funds and federal funds, that remains a continuing concern with this particular budget. In addition to the Medicaid increases, there were another $6.3 million of GF increases that was due to growth in enrollment and other programs such as adult public assistance, general relief, and senior benefit payments. And we added additional GF too because of the problems that they've had with the Medicaid school-based claims admin program, which most of you, if not all of you at the table, are already familiar with due to the supplemental coming across. The department discovered some problems with the way that program was being implemented, for lack of a better term, and that caused problems with the federal government, who asked for changes. And as a result, they came to you for supplemental funding already for that will take them for all but an 18-month period. And then this budget asks for general funds skipping that 18-month to bring them current in FY11. So I believe that next year's supplemental, we will see a request for some amount of money to cover that 18-month period that thus far, or approximately 18-month period that thus far has not been addressed. So that was another big increase to general funds in this particular budget. There were several other general fund increases, and I noted several of them in the memo. There was $2.6 million for the adult preventative dental Medicaid services, over $9 million for mental health trust funds. About half of that was in the Bring the Kids Home initiative, and the other half was funding FASD treatment and other various substance abuse and mental health programs and services. We added $1 million to stabilize the funding for public health nursing grantees, and about $355,000 went for foster care services, including prevention of homelessness for foster care children and young adults, job training and foster parent recruitment, school transportation to prevent midterm transfers by students who are in foster care. And finally, there was about another $5 million of general fund and on a variety of other programs. Some that we had that might be of interest are suicide response and postvention, which is the response taken by the department and their others after a suicide has occurred to prevent more suicides from happening, because they found that there is a an effect where if there's a suicide in a community, often other suicides will follow. So the postvention is what that's called, and they do a postvention response. We did fund some money for that. We funded some money for home and community-based waiver compliance, peer navigators. A new program to this department is the Soteria Alaska program, which is an alternative for those who have been newly diagnosed with mental illness, that they can be treated in more of a home-like setting. And then I envision rehab for rural Alaskans and early childhood mental health. There were actually only three items that were requested by the governor. They totaled approximately $900,000 that were not funded at all in this budget, and another two items were partially funded at 50%. So all in all, the subcommittee made an additional $3.5 million reduction in general funds in the Medicaid program. So those are really the only significant reductions that were made to what the governor asked for. The subcommittee recommendation also implements a structure change, which consolidates all the Medicaid allocations into one appropriation rather than being scattered across by program as they have been. And we left some things for the full finance committee to take action on, and those include a department-wide travel reduction, the transfer of the therapeutic courts to the court system budget, and some other items that are related to the domestic violence and sexual assault prevention initiative. I've already mentioned the concerns with this budget, and I'm sure there are others that relate, one of which is the continuing need to adjust rates that are not made at Medicaid rates, which only happens on a periodic basis, and they're trying to work on some kind of a schedule to do that. And with that, that concludes the report on health and social services.
Thank you for that report. Are there any questions of the presentation, and does Senator Olson have any final comments?
Well, I think the concern still is that the escalation, the $90 million increase over fiscal year 2010, certainly needs to be something that is looked at. Of course, what we had over the last year was the stimulus money that was there last year and is not going to be available in the coming years. And so whoever has this budget the next time around needs to be sharpening their pencil.
Thank you, Dr. Olson. Further questions on the HES budget? Seeing none, that brings us to public safety. Senator Olson, this was the last committee that you chaired along with Senators French, Senator McGuire, Senator Wilikowski, and Senator Bundy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. To present the public safety budget, we'll have Denise Liccioli go ahead and do that again. I must say that having dealt with a public safety budget this last year with the commissioner has been very easy to work with, and certainly much more cooperation between the legislative process and the department commissioner there. So Ms. Liccioli, if you present the budget, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. The subcommittee held three meetings with the department and essentially adopted the FY11 adjusted base and accepted with one minor exception, all of the changes that were requested by the governor to their budget. The minor change was there was a $25,200 request that had to do with ARRA funding, where they wanted to replace their federal money with general funds, and the general fund piece of that was denied. But with that exception, everything else that was in the governor's budget was accepted. And in addition to that, the subcommittee added an additional $200,000 for victim services that would go through contracts to all of the various shelters and other places that provide victim services throughout the state. Some of the most notable increases that were approved and included in the governor's budget were $1.5 million for the VPSO program. This will add 15 additional additional positions, and it will also provide for COLA and merit increases for the positions that are already established. And this does follow the recommendations that came from the 2008 Senate VPSO Task Force. So we wanted to congratulate the department and give them credit because they are already seeing success with the implementation of the first of those recommendations by providing more money and the COLA and those other things. They are finding that most of the VPSO positions that have been successful in recruiting for and retaining them, so they're having very little vacancy in those. And the same is true of their trooper positions, I might add. They asked for, and we provided $725,000 of GF and three positions, three trooper positions that are related to investigations, training, exam, and other costs that are related to the domestic violence and sexual assault prevention. They asked for a little bit more than they asked for about $500,000 for victim services. We provided an extra $200,000, so that came to the $700,000 that you see in your memo. There was $656,000, excuse me, approved for continuing cold case investigations and illegal drug and alcohol enforcement, $300,000 for increased prisoner transportation costs, and then some non-GF, $1.2 million, and five positions for highway patrol, excuse me, and $600,000 for background checks. I got the frog in my throat. I'm sorry about that. And then, let's see, that, no, thank you. That's a switch.
Mama, she didn't mean it.
The concerns that we have is that with the increases in the VPSO positions, which we were very glad to see and we wholeheartedly support, the department is going to start needing more oversight trooper positions. They've assured us that they do not have that need in this budget, but we should expect to see requests in the next budget cycle, not only for more VPSOs, but more troopers to help with that oversight. And another concern that we have is that with the DVSA prevention initiative, it's going to require the support and funding of the legislature if that's going to succeed. And that is expected to be a 10-year initiative, initiated, of course, by the governor, but seeming to have a lot of support in the legislature as well. And so I think we will continue to see more requests for additions and changes to the budget in this budget and probably some others as a result of that. And so with that, that concludes the report on public safety.
Thank you, Denise. Are there any questions of public safety's budget? Any closing comments, Senator Olson?
Well, I just want to congratulate the commissioner for understanding some of the needs that are that the task force recommended for VPSOs. He's addressed those needs. And in the small community that I've had, we've had certainly two situations over the last 3 months where there were a couple of tragedies involved, and so I just appreciate the commissioner understanding that and stepping up to the plate to get more VPSOs online.
Thank you, Senator Olson. We'll move on to Senator Huggins with DMV, Military and Veterans Affairs, assisting Senator Huggins and his committee were Senators Kukesh and Wilikowski, Military and Veterans Affairs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would request if Dr. Olson, if he gives me water, it's cold water, not hot, if I lose my voice. Number one, for Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, Mr. Chairman, we mirrored the House subcommittee actions and fully funded the governor's request for both operational funds and personal services. And just a comment, I think that synopsis-wise sort of is reflective of how organized this particular department is and reflective in quick action on our part, and it provides support for the following task: to provide military forces to our nation, provide homeland security and defense, provide emergency response, provide veteran services, and provide military-style training and education, which is the Youth Academy. And as you mentioned previously, I would like to thank Senator Kukesh and Senator Wilikowski for assisting on this subcommittee. And in addition, a special thanks to General Katkus and McHugh Pierre for their presentation, and Ms. Susan Culligan for putting it all together for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Do any committee members have any questions? None. The next department we have is Natural Resources. Senator Huggins also chaired that along with Senator McGuire, Senator Menard, and Senator Wilikowski. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the DNR budget, we did some reductions, and I'll also reflect on a recommendation we made for the full Finance Committee to address one area. But first of all, an overall reduction in funds expended of $423,000, and that was 0.5% less in unrestricted general funds than governor requested, 1.2% less in designated general funds that the governor requested, and 0.6% less in other funds that the governor requested. And let me just make a special note of a recommendation we made in the AGEA coordinator's office, which there was a request to double the size of that office from 4 personnel to 8. We recommended the full committee and the legislature take up the funding, and our recommendation is we increase the number of positions, full-time new positions, from 4 to 6, not from 4 to 8. That was the recommendation overall. And in addition, under this subcommittee, I would like to thank Ms. Lita Simons, who we've all dealt with over multiple years, and she is a very, very professional lady that is a joy to work with and is always precise in her presentations and synchronization of other presentations. With that, I'm open for questions.
Thank you, Senator Huggins, for that presentation. Do we have any questions from committee members? Thank you again. Then we'll move on to Senator Thomas with Community and Economic Development. Assisting Senator Thomas on that budget was Senator Kukesh and Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, I'll have my finance staff, Joe Hardenbrook, come forward and review and summarize the pertinent details and actions that were taken with the Department of Commerce and Economic Development's budget.
Joe, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. For the record, Joe Hardenbrook, finance aide to Senator Joe Thomas. For the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, the Senate subcommittee recommends a baseline budget that comes in $31,000 over the governor's request and approves one fewer full-time position than requested by the governor. We adopted the governor's amended FY11 budget proposed increments and decrements, including $72,000 in ADA receipts for a 10% increase in ARDR funding. The ARDRs are the Alaska Regional Development Organizations. And we also recommend that the full Finance Committee transfer ARDR funding to the Office of Economic Development and out of ADA. This is part of Legislative Finance's budget clarification project. $164,000 in receipt-supported services, an increment for the Division of Banking and Securities, and this is for travel. The funding will allow for travel associated with statutorily required exams and accreditation for banks. $200,000 in receipt-supported services. This increment covers drastic increases in fixed costs of the Division of Insurance Operations. The costs for mail, print, legal, and leases have risen by over $400,000 since FY08. We also approved an increment request for $192,000 in stimulus funds for the Regulatory Commission of Alaska for the development of electricity regulations. There are 3 years of funding provided under the Stimulus Act. Additionally, we adopted the governor's requested funding in the following areas, but approved the requests as one-time items. $97,000 in unrestricted general funds for one-time funding for a natural resource specialist position to advise communities on ANCSA-related actions. The last ANCSA specialist in the department is scheduled to retire within the next 2 years. This funding will allow for training and replacement of that position. We also approved a one-time item, $400,000 in federal receipts for the prescription database. This prescription database was established by statute back in FY09. We also approved a $100,000 one-time item in ADA receipts for an ADA strategic plan development. Again, this was a one-time item. We adopted the governor's amended FY11 budget with the following changes. We approved an increment for $250,000 in unrestricted general funds for two local government specialists. The two positions will be transferred from within Commerce, but we would decline the governor's request for funding for a new position. $125,000 in unrestricted general fund for two positions in the Office of Economic Development. $500,000 in unrestricted general funds and $500,000 in receipt-supported services for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. This increase in funding will allow ASME to cover a $500,000 anticipated decrease in federal funds with carry forward from FY 2010. The Senate subcommittee also added the following items: a $500,000 operations grant for Iliksavik College, $150,000 in unrestricted general funds to increase grant funding for the Alaska Legal Services Corporation, and $250,000 in unrestricted general funds for AEA. This would fund a feasibility research grant on small-scale nuclear power. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hardenbrook. Do we have any questions on Community and Economic Development's presentation on their budget? Thank you again. Then that brings us to Senator Thomas. You also chaired the Department of Labor and Workforce Development along with Senator Davis and Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I would now have my staff, finance staff, Joe Hardenbrook, go through the Department of Labor and Workforce Development's changes and specific recommendations of the committee.
Mr. Hardenbrook.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Again, Joe Hardenbrook, finance aide to Senator Senator Thomas. The Department of Labor and Workforce Development. The Senate subcommittee basically recommends adopting the governor's budget recommendations for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development in FY 11. The request from the governor is an austerity budget that allows the department to remain focused on critical workforce development initiatives while taking full advantage of federal revenue streams and maximizing their outreach statewide. The total request from the Senate subcommittee comes in at $200,000 below the governor's request. We approved an increment for $47,500 in unrestricted general funds for expanding training services. The department identified this as a priority and requested a corresponding decrement to free up the necessary funding. We approved an increment for $750,000 in stimulus funds for labor market information improvement projects. The Senate subcommittee accepts the governor's request for one-time funding, but because the funding is multi-year, we are not requiring the deletion of the PCNs requested by the governor. $85,000 in unrestricted general funds for workforce development and education. Again, the department identified this as a priority and requested a corresponding decrement to free up the necessary funding. $585,000 in unrestricted general funds for support of training and apprenticeships. These apprenticeships are mostly in the private sector. There's only a few that are designated for or that are awarded to organized labor. Department identified this as a priority and requested a corresponding decrement to free up the funding. $250,000 in unrestricted general funds for construction academy training. $3.5 million in unrestricted general funds for construction academy training. This has been in the budget for the last several years, always as a one-time item. We're requesting the full amount of $3.5 million, as well as asking that the funds not be designated as one-time. $83,000 split equally between federal receipts and receipt-supported services for a grant writer for AvTech in Seward. The lack of a trained grant writer has impacted federal funding to AvTech in the past, and the Labor Department anticipates that $3 to $5 million in grant funding may be available. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to take any questions from the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Hardenbrook, for that report. Any questions on this budget? Thank you. Thank you, Senator Thomas. We'll move on to Senator Stedman, Department of Law, and assisting Senator Stedman on the Department of Law were Senator French and Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and ask my Chief of Staff to come forward, please. There he is.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Miles Baker, staff to Senator Stedman. On the Department of Law budget, the subcommittee delivered a budget that's $800,000 less in general funds than the governor's amended budget. couple items that we basically accepted the governor's amended budget with a few exceptions. We denied the increment for the sexual assault coordinator position and are recommending to the full finance committee that they accept the House recommendation to move that position into the governor's office to better coordinate the statewide efforts on that initiative. We funded, also took the House recommendation, funded two full-time district attorneys, the 3rd Judicial District in Kenai, accepted the two positions, recommended 75% funding. As the department testified that those positions probably couldn't be filled by the start of FY 2011. And the Civil Division approved a one-time increment of $3 million for oil and gas mining for outside legal counsel for ongoing TAPS reconfiguration, Point Thompson litigation. That was $500,000 less than the governor's request and is being added as a one-time increment as opposed to being put in the base as requested by the department. And we're deferring a $2.5 million language increment to the full committee for outside legal counsel on gas line work. But the subcommittee is recommending, if the full committee considers that, that they consider cutting that by $500,000. And that concludes the Department of Law, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Baker, for that presentation. Do we have any questions on the Department of Law? Seeing none, we'll move on to Senator Stedman, Department of Revenue, that your members included Senators McGuire and myself, Senator Hoffman. Senator Stedman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and have my Chief of Staff walk through this.
Mr. Baker?
On the Department of Revenue's budget, the committee delivered a report that's just $500,000 less general funds than the governor's amended budget. I would point out it shows a difference, a zero difference in positions. However, there was a request for four positions from the department in the language section of the budget for four exempt commercial analyst positions, and that's being deferred to the full committee for consideration. So the subcommittee is actually four positions below the governor's amended budget. We accepted the governor's budget with a few exceptions I will highlight. And the tax division, we're deferring $300,000 language appropriation for a GEO reporting system. There was some concern that that might be more appropriate in the capital budget. But also, if it is approved, the committee was recommending the fund source be changed from Alaska Housing Capital Corp receipts to general funds. We also deferred $800,000 that I mentioned earlier, an appropriation request language section for four exempt commercial tax or commercial analyst positions. Committee felt this should be considered in conjunction with a number of the other agencies' gas and gas pipeline related requests. If the committee does consider approving this, we recommend also that the general fund be used as opposed to the Alaska Housing Capital Corp receipts, and that whatever positions are approved would go into the numbers section of the department's budget for better tracking. Also deferring to the full committee the CBR language section. The CBR is anticipated to be paid off by the end of this fiscal year, so we're recommending that the management fees for the CBR for the coming fiscal year be paid for out of general funds, so we don't incur an additional liability to the CBR. We approved a $50,000 GF increment for an audit of the Alaska Gasoline Inducement Act Fund. Also accepted the department's recommendation to set that in a separate, a new allocation called Alaska Gas Commercialization. Deferred to the full committee 1.5 language appropriation for contractual services and negotiation analysis dealing with the gas pipeline fiscal terms. Also thought that was more appropriately decided at the full committee as part of a larger discussion on gas and gas pipeline, but that the fund source for that should more appropriately be general funds. A long-term care ombudsman approved a one-time increment. The House had denied this position. We approved a one-time increment for increased workload, primarily dealing with cases brought by Alaska's seniors. That's a mental health trust general fund match. And those are the primary changes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Baker, for that presentation. Do we have any questions of the Department of Revenue? Thank you, Senator Stedman. The last department that you had was Department of Transportation, Public Facilities. Assisting you on that committee were Senators Kukesh, Menard, Meyer, Olson, and Stevens. Senator Stedman?
Yeah, I'd like to defer it to my chief staff, please.
Mr. Baker?
Mr. Chairman, the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Subcommittee is reporting a budget recommendation that's 2.4 million less than the governor's amended request and three positions lower. I'll highlight the principal changes. On page 2, third bullet, the subcommittee is recommending addition of a new budget research analyst position within the statewide admin services to work with the admin services director. This is a discussion the subcommittee's had for several years. The Department of Transportation has a capital budget approaching $1 billion annually, there's been a recognized need for somebody who can focus specifically on that and working with the legislature on tracking that budget and doing researching and reporting so that the committee can have a better sense of what's going on with the department's capital budget. In the design, engineering, construction, the subcommittee last year made a recommendation to move the harbor development program, the money that was going to pay the operations of that department from the capital budget to the operating budget. So the department did make that recommendation this year, and we adopted it, but we also set up a separate allocation for that program under the statewide design and engineering group. Highways, aviation, facilities, about midway down there, the fourth bullet down, we deferred a 1.7 million GF request dealing with the EPA water quality permitting issue. That issue is in flux. We felt it was more appropriate to have the full committee look at that. In the 2010 supplemental budget, there is an amended request for $1 million for that issue. The day before the subcommittee closed out, the department amended this request by another $500,000, bringing it to $2.2 million. And there are two fairly large capital items dealing with this issue as well in the department's budget. So we felt it more appropriate to be that issue, the multi-year, multi-budget issue to be discussed further by the committee. The next page, Mr. Chairman, we have other substantial things. I guess the committee recommended a new planner position at the Marine Highway to better coordinate the long-term strategic planning of the Marine Highway system with the rest of DOT's program development unit. Currently, the Marine Highway planning is done through the Southeast Division, even though it's a statewide system, although it largely serves the coastal communities in Southeast. The Southeast Region Planning is the smallest planning group at the agency, and there's been a recognized need in the last few years for that system to have a dedicated planner that can better articulate and coordinate with the rest of the department on their planning needs. We approved two new increments, although $750,000, which is a $250,000 less than the governor's request to provide the Marine Highway vessels with satellite ship-to-shore capabilities, and a $500,000 increment for recognizing the increased lease costs in the Bellingham Terminal. And the final bullet there, Mr. Chairman, is in a recognition of the large portion of the Marine Highway operations appropriation that is fuel, and with a desire to get a better sense of, you know, transparency on fuel consumption, we pulled the fuel item out into a separate allocation. The FY 2011 fuel increment is almost $13 million, so that will now be in a separate allocation within the appropriation.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Do we have any questions on DOT's budget? Seeing none, we will move on to Senator Egan. Senator Egan had two budgets, the courts and education. On courts, we had assisting Senator Egan were Senator Pascavan and Senator Dyson. Senator Egan.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you like to start with courts first, or?
Please.
Education. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I thank the members of my subcommittee for their participation, and also thank Mr. Christensen of the court system for their assistance. And to present will be Jesse Keel of my office.
Mr. Keel, please identify yourself for the record and give your report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jesse Keel, staff to Senator Egan. Mr. Chairman, on the court system budget, the subcommittee worked from the court system's adjusted base budget and approved a number of targeted increases in a what was overall a very restrained budget. The subcommittee did approve funding in the appellate courts, both to eliminate the vacancy savings requirement for the eight judges in the appellate court system, and a small increment to cover the travel costs for the Chief Justice. The subcommittee, moving on to trial courts, approved funding to phase in, or to, rather to continue the phase in, of the No Dark Courtrooms initiative, which has improved efficiency in the court system. The subcommittee met fixed cost increases for leased space in Galena and Chivac, as well as for the telephone system, and approved a new position for the Multi-Agency Justice Integration Consortium, which is often known around the building as the MAGIC Consortium, to continue the good work that that group has done in integrating computer systems among justice agencies and the court system to get better information to our frontline folks. The subcommittee approved upgrading the clerk position in the Craig Court from part-time to full-time because of a sustained increase in felony filings in the Craig Court. The subcommittee approved funding to pay retired judges who come back to sit on the bench on a pro tem basis a little more than they're making now. Under the status quo without this increment, Mr. Chairman, those pro tem judges are making less than half what the lowest paid attorney in the courtroom is making, and the court system has been beginning to have trouble finding pro tem judges to serve. Mr. Chairman, there was also a small increment to improve training and availability of language interpreters, foreign language interpreters for the court system, as well as approving some interagency receipts from the Child Support Services Division for the Family Law Self-Help Center. The subcommittee approved the Mental Health Trust Authority's funding for mental health courts, and also gave small increments to the Judicial Conduct Commission to keep that two-person agency at a 0% vacancy factor, and funded the second small increment was in the Judicial Council to staff an interagency commission on child protection modeled after the excellent work that that council has done, rather, staffing the the Criminal Justice Working Group. Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee had made two recommendations for full Finance Committee action. The first was to match the action of the other body in aggregating all therapeutic courts funding into the Alaska court system for better tracking and accountability in these high-priority courts. Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee believed that therapeutic courts work well, and we need to make certain that they're running as efficiently and as effectively as possible. The second recommendation of the full Finance Committee was to cover the increased costs of transcripts that the court system procures at well below market rates for public justice agencies, but to do so, Mr. Chairman, with a chargeback structure to the agencies that actually request those transcripts from the courts. Mr. Chairman, that concludes the actions of the court subcommittee.
Thank you, Mr. Keel, for that presentation. Do we have any questions on courts?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
I see that the subcommittee noted a 2008 appropriation to begin work on the Nome State Office Building. I was wondering what the, and there was a denial for $278,000 to take control of the Nome Federal Building where the court system is now at. I was wondering what the progress of the Nome State Office Building was at.
Mr. Chairman, through you to Senator Olson, the Nome State Office Building was not requested in the governor's capital budget this year, and the subcommittee felt fairly strongly that the federal building, which is currently leased to the court system and several other agencies at below market rates, was a less attractive option than a new Nome State Office Building because of significant deferred maintenance issues. The subcommittee was very careful to work with the court system and feels confident that taking over management of that federal building this year will not endanger the Nome courts remaining open. It was absolutely not the intention to shut down those courts, Mr. Chairman. It was the subcommittee's intention to put pressure on the administration to move forward with the Nome State Office Building that provides a higher quality, lower cost, more efficient option for not only the court system but executive branch agencies currently in that building.
So law and order will prevail there in Nome. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Thank you, Mr. Keel. Do we have any further questions? That brings us to the last department that Senator Egan chaired, which is education and early development, with Senator Davis, Senator Menard, Senator Meyer, and Senator Stevens. Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to thank from the department Anna Kim and Eddie Jeans and their folks for all the assistance they gave us, and ask Jesse Keel of my office to present.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jesse Keel with Senator Egan's office. The administration presented a restrained budget for the Department of Education and Early Development. As you noted at the beginning of earlier in this hearing, the foundation formula has an increase of more than $50 million to Alaska school districts this year. The subcommittee did not deal with the formula but worked on the operations of the department itself. The department did ask for a few fixed cost increases, which the subcommittee met, and largely the subcommittee's recommendations mirror the governor's amended request. The most notable elements there would be approving the continuation of the pre-kindergarten pilot project as base funding, and approving the governor's request for a one-time grant of $200,000 to the Best Beginnings program as an investment in early education. The subcommittee also approved the governor's request for three content specialists in reading, writing, and mathematics. Their purpose would be to help struggling school districts meet the state standards. But, Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee did recommend a structure change within the department's budget to move not only those three content specialists, but all of the state system support for struggling districts, beginning with Senate Bill 285 in the 25th legislature, out of the executive administration part of the budget, functionally out of the commissioner's office, and into its own allocation within the Division of Teaching and Learning Support. The subcommittee felt strongly that that better aligned the expenditures with the agency's missions within its divisions. There was a small increase in federal funds for the Arts Council, approved as requested by the governor. The subcommittee also added, Mr. Chairman, one significant investment in early learning coordination. We added $600,000 for the department to allocate in the most efficient and effective way, in its discretion, between the Best Beginnings program and the Parents as Teachers program, which is run through Rural Cap. The subcommittee recommends intent language giving the department that flexibility to allocate those funds. Finally, Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee left the question of carry-forward authorization for federal stimulus funds to the full Finance Committee and recommends that the full committee approve that carry-forward authorization so that districts can use the second and final year of stimulus dollars.
I would differ a little bit that saying that this is a restrained budget when we're giving the foundation formula in excess of $50 million. This is one item that the bipartisan working group has on their list of trying to address and keeping our promise to the education community of fulfilling the foundation formula that was worked on several years ago. But so there is a substantial increase to the Department of Education. And again, that's a commitment that the Senate Bipartisan Working Group was committed to. Do we have any questions of Mr. Keel? Thank you, Mr. Keel. That brings us to Senator Ellis. Senator Ellis had two departments, corrections and DEC. The corrections budget chaired by Senator Ellis included Senator Davis, Senator French, and Senator Pascovan. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. And I'm going to have Mr. Hensley join us here at the table. I'm going to run through the information, and he'll help me with anything that I miss. First, Department of Corrections, the overview is that the subcommittee approved a budget of $225,876,600 in unrestricted general funds and $260,960 in total funds. That's an increase of a little over $7 million or 3.1% over the governor's proposal. That increase is entirely the subcommittee's recommendation for funding of the correction officer's arbitration award. And we forwarded that on to the full committee for consideration in some budget vehicle. The subcommittee approved 1,509 full-time and 1,511 total positions, which is the same as the governor's budget. There are several items of interest, Mr. Chairman. Like I said, the correctional officer's award there is forwarded on to the full committee. We adopted two structure changes in this budget. The new 24-hour utilities appropriation, that was a good idea that came to us to help the department manage cost overruns in institutions. We think that's a good step forward. And then the new offender habilitation, we put a focus there and requiring a report through intent language that the department share with the legislature their progress. We reduced two of the governor's increments to a lower level after subcommittee oversight. We scrubbed the numbers on the Wildwood Correctional Center, reducing from $1,242,800 down to $1,104,300 because of the delayed opening date. They didn't need all the money in this budget. And then under contractual, the increases for the community residential centers, the CRCs, we reduced from $400,000 to $337,000. So minor things, but I just wanted to assure the full committee that we did scrub the numbers in those two important components. We adopted three of the governor's increments, $300,000 one-time operating or one-time increment to operate the Kodiak jail during the transition. That was important to the folks that represent Kodiak and the folks there on the island. $500,000 to 43 community residential center beds, added that to existing contracts, and $3,050,800 for inmate health care, and that was, of course, a growing concern with health care costs. Two items of ongoing concern. Mr. Chairman, we reiterated your concern and the concern of the subcommittee about the need for better correctional facilities in the YK Delta. That's an ongoing conversation, and we highlighted that again. And then the emphasis on evidence-based programs having a potential to reduce recidivism was a big concern of the subcommittee that we emphasized with the department. So, Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Hensley, if I've left anything out, he's going to speak up. If not, that's the Department of Corrections budget.
And just for the committee's information, it is our intent to fully fund the contracts for the correctional officers, but we will probably be using that another vehicle, which would be the supplemental budget. We're in dialogue with the other body, and so far they've agreed to do that so that this item has been left out of the House's budget, and by taking action in another budget item, this item would not have to be conferenceable if it was included in the Senate's version. So we will be taking action on that pending verification that the contract will be taken care of in the other in another budget appropriation. Senator Ellis, the second department you have is the environmental conservation budget. You were assisted by Senators Pascavan and Wagner. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hensley also assisted me with this budget. The overview is that the subcommittee approved a budget of $18,189,200 in UGF and $75,647,100 in total funds. That's an increase of $100,400 or 0.1% over the governor's proposal. The subcommittee approved 534 full-time and 538 total positions. That's a decrease of 4 full-time positions from the governor's proposal. So we weren't as generous with the positions. Items of interest, the denying of the 5 full-time positions related to the increment for drinking water primacy. The department had room within their current vacancy rate to absorb that growth. That's what we decided. We accepted 5 major governor's increments, $260,000 for equipment maintenance at the Environmental Health Lab. They made a good case for that. $150,000 in receipt supported services for pesticide testing, $150,000 for air quality permitting on the North Slope and OCS. Commissioner Hardig appealed to me personally and appealed to the subcommittee that this was a pro-development, pro-growth, pro-oil and gas increment for there to be a knowledgeable person in the state employee to work with the offshore oil developers, with the other stakeholders and the federal government to make sure the state had its act together on air quality so that reasonable, sustainable development could move forward. So we approved that. $240,000 of federal funds for rural public water systems operator training, very important to folks, and $125,000 for remote maintenance workers. The last two increments were one-time increments in the other body's subcommittee. Their subcommittee felt that they were important items that should be more stable, and we agreed. We adopted an increment for $100,400 to fund new environmental health officer to focus on retail food safety inspections. That's an ongoing discussion with legislators about food safety inspections and the state doing a better job. They need more than that, but this was a minimal increase that we supported. We adopted 3 statements of intent that DEC worked with Fish and Game and DNR to clean up the banks of the Kenai and Kasiloff River dip net fishery. It's a total unsanitary and unsightly mess. They promised to do a better job. DEC must work with labor to train Alaskans for the Ocean Rangers. We were aggravated that all of them so far are out of state and that there needs to be a training component here in state, or almost all of them, rather. And the DEC must return to the legislature with a proposal for making the Spill Prevention and Response Fund sustainable through increased surcharges and or applying the surcharge to federal barrels that flow through taps from offshore development. We're essentially sounding the alarm bell for the legislature and in particular the finance committees, or at least this finance committee, about the nickel a barrel and the Spill Prevention and Response Fund and the downward trend in our ability to respond. That's something the legislature must grapple with in the next year or so, or we'll be in a crisis situation. Mr. Chairman, that is our report.
Thank you for that report, Senator Ellis. Do you have any comments upon that report? Seeing none, I know that Karen Rayfield has voice problems this morning, and we'll be inviting her up before we pass this legislation out. It's our position that we will be adopting the reports and having a CS drafted, and we'll be holding public testimony on the legislation tomorrow, and we have a target of 3 p.m. tomorrow for amendments by committee members. That may be extended, but that is the goal. The budget that we have before us was a budget to try to live within our means and still address the concerns that Alaskans expect for services, given the comments that I had earlier on the corrections budget with the correctional officers. Taking that into consideration, this budget represents approximately $15.8 million less than what the governor had requested. It also reduces the position count that the governor had requested in position count from 21,626 down to 21,591, or a reduction of approximately 35 positions, an increase of 2 positions in part-time, and a status quo of 659 positions within the temporary category. With that, we'll have a brief at ease. Senator Stedman.
I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt the FY 2011 Operating Budget Subcommittee Closeout Reports as presented with attached legislative finance backup to be included into the CS.
Are there discussion on that motion? Is there objection? If not, so ordered. Again, we're going to have public testimony starting tomorrow at 9 a.m. On the budget. I think the communities that have slots are listed. We're trying to keep everybody's comments to 2 minutes so that everyone throughout the state can have their input in the budget, and the amendments will be due as targeted by 3 p.m. tomorrow. Senator Stedman, do you have further comments on tomorrow's schedule?
No, but we're back here at 1:30, I think, today.
Yeah.
Yes, 1:30 for more bill work. Should take probably pretty much an hour and a half.
Brief, please. Do we adjourn? In order, that concludes the morning work, and this committee is adjourned.